Welcome to the first episode of Pop Fishbowl. I am your host, Ezekiel, just a little Canadian who loves and revels geek culture. So, I don't know what this show is going to be, but what I'd like it to be is just a weekly kind of sit down with kind of the thoughts that are going on in my head and just my interests. And so I love movies and TV and pop culture and comics and video games and general kind of geekiness, and I just, you know, wanted a forum to kind of talk about that week to week. So there may be different topics. I may talk about books one week heavily. I may talk about movies or TV or like a certain comic that I'm reading, but I think what I'm going to do is just I'm going to start each episode with just talking about the things that are going on this week that I'm excited about, and then later on I'm going to talk about some TV that's been on my mind, because that's, I think that'll be kind of like this week's focus. So right now it is Saturday, it is the 27th of February, and I'm really excited for Zootopia, the new Disney movie that opens next week. It opens on the 4th, and I don't know how other people feel about it. I love animals. I especially love anthropomorphic animals. It's one of the reasons I'm a big fan of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Bucky O'Hare or any kind of thing. Star Fox is another thing. Just any, like, I love when animals are humanoid. I cannot explain it. It just reasons, feels, whatever. And I have been waiting for Zootopia for 2 years. This is my Star Wars. This is my Batman v Superman. This is my Deadpool. You know, every time somebody mentioned Star Wars or any of the other above, I just kind of shrugged, because it's like, I'm Kanye West. That's great. I'm going to let you finish, but Zootopia is my jam. And I'm excited. I want all the Zootopia things. I want all the toys and all the merchandise, and I will see the movie at a midnight screening if there is one. There won't be, because it's a Disney movie, but if there was, I would totally be there at midnight counting down for Zootopia. I'll probably, I'm a little scared about Zootopia, just because, like, I have a pretty active imagination, and I build expectations up for what I think it's going to be. So I was thinking that it would be this world of animals, and that there would be like a grand adventure, that it would be kind of an adventure film about these two characters, a fox and a rabbit, going on an adventure in this world of Zootopia. And I think it's more kind of a comedy, maybe kind of like Hercules, which is like probably my favorite Disney movie. So it's probably in good hands. But that's the part that, like, I'm a little hesitant to, because the trailers have been really good, but there's been more of a comedic influence, and I was hoping for, like, me, Ezekiel, was hoping for just more of like a straight kind of like action adventure story, more so than just a comedy. But I'm really excited for Zootopia. I like I said, I've been waiting for this for like 2 years. I can't think about anything else. I breathe Zootopia, I think Zootopia, and I will most likely be seeing it opening day on my own, because that's just kind of my luck with things that I'm interested in. Usually it's just I'm an army of one. So I'm really excited for Zootopia coming up next week. The books that I'm reading, I just finished the second book in the Oz series. My kind of my challenge is I wanted to go back and read a bunch of like the children's kind of fairy tale stories. I wanted to kind of read Alice in Wonderland and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Peter Pan, Sleepy Hollow. So I read the first one, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by Frank Baum, and I read the second book I finished this morning called oh, I can't even remember. Like, I want to say The Marvelous. Please, give me a hard time if I'm misspelling the title. I think it's like The Marvelous Land of Oz, and it was good. It's very dated. Just the language and the vernacular. They use queer a lot, which they, well, I mean, because queer has very different connotation now in 2016 than it did when those books were first written at the turn of, like, the 20th century. So that was interesting. There was a, I'm just, it's really weird that we're always kind of have to say spoiler alert, but spoiler alert, if you've never read the Wizard of Oz books and you want to just skip ahead, it'll be like 2 minutes, but this is just like my book rant. In the book, there's an army of girls that overtake the Emerald City. The Scarecrow is the king of the Emerald City, and he's overthrown by this army of girls, the Army Revolt, they're called, and they're led by General Ginger, who is an awesome character. And so the thing of it, this book was written at the turn of the century, and there certainly were feminists, and but it wasn't as prevalent, and especially from a male writer, where those, and again, I hate this, but this is just, it's a product of its datedness, that women were kind of supposed to be subservient and in the kitchen, which is awful, but that's what a lot of people thought, including many women of the time. So the women led by General Ginger, their whole thing was they just didn't want to be subservient anymore. They didn't want to be in the kitchen, and they felt that Scarecrow was doing a bad job, and so they overthrew the Emerald City. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, yeah, you go, girl. Who runs the world? Girls. Like, I thought that was great. I liked General Ginger. I liked how confident she was. I liked how I liked how smart she was. She was funny. She was also sarcastic. And she had a good reason. She was sick of doing the housework. She felt that she could do a better job than the Scarecrow. She wasn't wrong. The Scarecrow, bless his heart, he's kind of an idiot. Like, so I really related to General Ginger. I think General Ginger should have her own movie. I think there should be toys of General Ginger. I started thinking about, like, Furiosa and General Ginger, like, becoming, like, gal pals, and just being awesome women. The other woman character that was introduced in the second Oz book was Julia Jam, and Julia Jam is just this really sarcastic, almost like an April Ludgate of Parks and Rec, if I can make that comparison. And so I really liked Julia Jam and General Ginger. They were like the MVP of this book. When they weren't in the book, I was really disappointed. And so, but it was interesting. I'm really glad that I read both Oz books. I really liked the world. I wish the books had more character development. They were pretty standard. Like, they would go on missions and that would be it. And I didn't really get a sense of the characters that much. So that was the book I read. I'm going to start The Neverending Story today. So those are my book things. For comics, I just finished reading Spider-Woman by Dennis Hopeless. I read about 3 issues at my wonderful friend who works at a comic shop, 8th Street Book and Comics. Thank you, Katie, for getting me to read 4 issues of that and Poison Ivy. So I read Spider-Woman, 4 issues of that, and the 2 issues of the new Poison Ivy series. They were really good. I liked how the characterization was really strong for both characters. I'm not really a fan of either of them, so coming into the book where I could relate to both of them, both women are mothers in this series, and that was really interesting how they didn't just make them mothers. There were different sides to Jessica Drew, who's Spider-Woman, and, you know, Pamela Isley, who's Poison Ivy, and I really appreciated that. I really enjoyed both books. So that's what I'm going for. Books, video games, I still have 3 video games I haven't finished yet. I got them all off of GOG, good old games. So there's Broken Age Act 2, I have not finished yet. I have not finished The Cave, and I have not finished Grim Fandango. They are all done by Double Fine Productions. Grim Fandango is a remastered version of the original game that came out in 1998 by LucasArts. It's an adventure game that features the skeleton Manny Calavera in the land of the dead. He's trying to figure out how he died and why he's kind of stuck in limbo. I really liked the game when I played it as a kid. It's just life. Life, yo. I've gotten busy and I just haven't made time. So I really need to finish Broken Age. I loved Act 1 when I played it a year ago. Both Broken Age and Grim Fandango are adventure games. Adventure games are probably my favorite genre just because I love the strong characters. I love the story. I love the world building that those games have. It's more... As a writer myself and someone who loves deep stories and deep characters, I can really get behind that more so than like a first-person shooter or a strategy game or an RPG or something like that. So I really need to finish Grim Fandango and Broken Age. And The Cave is also by Double Fine, but The Cave is more like kind of a, it's a platform side-scroller where you can control about five characters in a cave environment. So I need to finish all three games, so you should send me an email next week and say, hey Zeke, have you finished these games yet? Because I can devote some time. So that's the things. Toy news. I really want to buy the Fantastic Mr. Fox toy. There is a comic shop in my city called Amazing Stories, and they have a little Fantastic Mr. Fox toy. And I really want it. Again, going back to anthropomorphic animals, I really love foxes. Foxes are probably not my favorite animal. My favorite animal is a cow. I love cows. But foxes, I love foxes. To no one's surprise, if you know, that's one of the reasons I'm really excited about Zootopia, is the main character is a fox. So I love the Fantastic Mr. Fox movie. I want the toy, but as a poor, starving artist, who is a freelance writer, I just am waiting to get paid. So hopefully, knock on wood, I will get some paychecks and I will be able to buy my Fantastic Mr. Fox toy. So that's kind of my book and comic and toy news. I really wanted to talk about TV. So it's 2016. I'm trying not to watch as much TV this year as I normally do, just because, like, John Landgraf, who's the president of FX, made kind of like a bold statement at the Television Critics Association this summer, where he said we're kind of at peak TV, where he said by the end of 2015 there's going to be over 400 scripted shows. So that's not like a reality show, that's like scripted television. There's going to be 400 shows, and by the end of it there was 412. And I don't know about you guys, but there's just so much. Like, I still have not finished season 3 of Orange is the New Black on Netflix. I haven't finished Daredevil. I haven't finished Marco Polo. I haven't finished Sense8. And I'm sure all shows are really good. I just haven't had time. I really haven't. And I kind of did a calculation of how much TV I was watching a week. So Mondays for me are Supergirl, The Magicians, which has started on Sci-Fi, which is probably my favorite show of 2016. So there's like Supergirl and Magicians, and The X-Files was doing its sixth episode run because The X-Files was brought back as a miniseries. So that was my Mondays. Tuesdays were iZombie and The Flash and Outsiders, which is the new show on WGN America. So, and then, you know, there's like DC's Legends of Tomorrow and American Crime Story. The People versus O.J. Simpson is also on Tuesday. So I kind of did a tally, and I was also trying to stay current with Billions, which is a new Showtime drama with Paul Giamatti and Damian Lewis, and The Colony with Josh Holloway and Sarah Wayne Callies. It's on USA Network. I also haven't finished Sci-Fi's The Expanse. So I kind of did a tally, and I was like, there's just too much TV. So I've decided to kind of cut back on some stuff. And what I really wanted to talk about, I guess in this episode, I'm looking at the time, it's 14 minutes. I don't want to overwhelm people, so I'll just kind of keep it short, is these are kind of my four favorite shows of 2016. The Magicians on Syfy. It's based on the series of books. I cannot remember the author's name. I really don't want to Google it. It's Levi something. I love this show. It was initially advertised as kind of like a darker and more adult version of Harry Potter. It's kind of like Harry Potter with like drugs and sex. And it's a similar idea. It's a kid who was an outsider and an outcast, and he's always dreamed of something more, and he is accepted into a magical university called Breakbills. And then he becomes friends with people, similar to how Harry Potter became friends with Ron and Hermione. I was never really a big Harry Potter fan. I really, really, really respect Harry Potter, but I watched the movies when they came out. I deliberately didn't watch or read the books because I wanted to finish the movies. I don't know if you're like me. I'm a reader, and if I read a book and it doesn't like be isn't in like a faithful adaptation to the book, I get kind of upset. I'm like, oh, they didn't add that. There wasn't the one part where like the character walked. That wasn't in the movie, and so I deliberately avoided reading the books until the movies were done. I started it, and then I'm sorry, guys. And again, you should be on me for not doing this. I haven't finished them. So, but I'm loving The Magicians. The main character Quentin Coldwater, I really identify with him. I love this journey that he's on. There's a villain that's similar to kind of Voldemort, where he's this mysterious entity, and they're trying to figure out who this person is. I like that there's a meta aspect to The Magicians, where this character, Quentin, he read these books that are similar to Narnia, where they're called Fillory. And it turns out, I'm not going to go into details because I want to have this be a spoiler-free podcast. But it turns out that Fillory is kind of connected to Breakbills. I love, love, love this show. I love all the characters. I cannot wait for Mondays. It just can't get enough for me. Number two, and this surprised me because this was a show that I was initially dreading, but I bumped it up to my number two spot because I am so obsessed with this show. I love The Magicians. I'm obsessed with American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. So the trial happened in like 94 to 95. I was very, very little when this happened. My memory of like it was just from what my parents told me or what I saw in the newspaper and what I could read. And there used to be a show called Mad TV, and they made fun of O.J. Simpson. Orlando Jones would spoof him from time to time. So that's kind of my memory of O.J. Simpson. And this trial, it's developed by Ryan Murphy, who did, you know, American like Horror Story, but he is not the showrunner. He is not the main writer. It's actually two guys, who this is like their first television show, and the cast is amazing. Like Cuba Gooding Jr. plays O.J. Simpson. He's doing a really good job as playing O.J. as like very childlike. John Travolta plays his counsel. Give me a minute. I can't remember his name off the top. And he's like my favorite character. I have never seen John Travolta in anything better. Or I should say, I haven't enjoyed John Travolta in anything better. He is just killing it as Bob Shapiro. Bob Shapiro is the name of the character. I love, love, love Bob Shapiro. Especially the last episode, episode 4. Courtney B. Vance plays Johnny Cochran, who is, of course, the big flamboyant lawyer who got, who's very outlandish in his courtroom appearances, and he got OJ off, basically. Nathan Lane plays one of the lawyers, too, on this dream team of lawyers they've assembled. Evan Handler, who is a character actor, plays another one of them. David Schwimmer is Robert Kardashian, the father of you know, Khloe and Kourtney Kardashian. Like, it's insane. They throw in a lot of Kardashian references, kind of alluding to their future as kind of like fame whores. I'm like obsessed with this show, and I cannot explain why I'm obsessed. I don't know if it's kind of like the true crime aspect of it, which I've always liked. I've always gravitate towards true crime stories, but I just love what they're doing. John Travolta as Bob Shapiro is my spirit animal. Like, he is so clueless, and over the top and egotistical, and I love it. 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 John Travolta, please keep doing what you're doing. I want like a Bob Shapiro movie where it's just John Travolta in like Hawaiian shirts bumbling and getting in fights with Courtney B. Vance's Johnny Cochran and David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian. It just makes my life on so many levels. So that's American Crime Story. It's four episodes in. Like I said, I have probably watched each episode at least three times. I know, I'm obsessed. I have a problem. Number three is The Outsiders. The Outsider is WGN America's newest show. They did Manhattan. They've done Salem. What really attracted me to Outsiders was it's based on, loosely, the hill people that live kind of in the mountains of Kentucky. Justified was one of my favorite shows. They sort of had the hill people in one of the episodes of, like, I think season four. And I just, what was so great about Justified is that it showed this subculture that I had not seen. They were so great at world building this sort of pseudo fictional version of Kentucky. I cannot say enough things about Justified. I loved Justified. And I liked when they brought up these hill people. So it's really cool that the hill people have their own show. It's not by the same creative team. It's on WGN America other than FX. Here's my thing with Outsiders. I love the potential of what it could be. You've got this community, this subculture that lives up in the hills of Kentucky that's separated from the outside world. And it could be so much better. I've seen five episodes. It's okay. It's not as good as, again, like what, like going back to my big imagination, what my expectations were for it. The cast is really great. I love Phyllis Summerhill as Lady Ray. She's the matriarch of the family. She's really good. But it could be better. But I like the show enough, I'm going to stick it out until the end of the season. So that's Outsiders. Lastly, number four is DC's Legends of Tomorrow, which is this ramshackle cavalcade group of heroes that have appeared on both The Arrow and The Flash. So the thin premise is that this Time Hunter, Rip Hunter, has to stop the immortal Vandal Savage from destroying the future, so he recruits these people to stop them, and it's made up of, like, the Atom, who is on the Arrow, White Canary, who is also on Arrow. You had Firestorm that was on The Flash, so Firestorm is two characters who come together to form this character. So, like, one of them is kind of the body and the other is kind of the brain. It's really cool. Victor Garber plays the one half. He plays Professor Martin Stein, and then there's Jackson, who's kind of the body, the muscle. You've got Hawk Girl that appeared on The Flash, and then you've got the two villains, Captain Cold and Heatwave, that were the villains of The Flash, and they're on the show because sometimes, you know, stuff needs to get done, you need to steal stuff, you gotta have villains on the team. Here's kind of my thing. That it is the additions of Captain Cold and Heatwave, played beautifully by Wentworth Miller and Dominic Purcell, that got me into the show. 10 years ago, my favorite show of the time was Prison Break, that also starred Wentworth Miller and Dominic Purcell as brothers Michael Schofield and Lincoln Burrows. I love that show. I love the chemistry that those two actors had. I was very excited when they returned on The Flash as different people, but if you know Prison Break, it's kind of like an alternate version. It's like evil Michael and evil Lincoln if they were criminals. And so when they were announced for joining the spinoff, that got me very, very excited. It has not let me down, because it's basically getting to see those characters again. But it's like, an alternate version of them. They're evil. They steal things. Michael Scofield and Lincoln Burrows would never steal things. These guys do, and it's cool. But it's getting to see Wentworth Miller and Dominic Purcell together again, and it makes me very, very, very happy for just reasons. I really like the chemistry of all of them. It's kind of like Ocean's 11, where you bring in all these people, and they've got to go on missions and jobs together, and they all work well off each other. I've enjoyed The Legends of Tomorrow much more than I would have thought. Again, I'm not going to lie, I squee a lot getting to see Captain Cold and Heatwave going up against the heroes and like stealing things when they're not supposed to, because that's what they do. They're villains. They're criminals. I like that. And then they embrace it on the show. They're not trying to change them. So those are my four favorite shows of 2016. Like, again, I've been watching Supergirl, which I love. I watched the X-Files miniseries. I watch iZombie. I watch The Flash. But I'm trying to really kind of like tone down my TV watching, just because I really want to read more books. I've set a challenge for myself this year to read 100 books for 2016. I'm at 13, including comics, if that's okay. So I'm pretty proud of myself. So I'm looking at the time. It's 26 minutes. I hope that's not like too much blar for people, but yeah. So I don't know what this is going to be, but every week I'm going to get together. I may have an all Zootopia podcast tomorrow, or not tomorrow, next week, because again, like, I'm really, really, really excited about Zootopia. So anyways, I hope you guys have a good rest of your week. Send me some emails at popfishbowl@gmail.com. And if there's any kind of topic that you want me to talk about, please let me know. Talk to you next week, guys.